Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. We can start our puja first, 8:10. Can we get 2 persons to light the incense? I think one of them is Silun seldom light. Then who else? Doris and Silun. Come, Doris. Help to light the candle and incense. Yeah. Sian give you the honor. Yeah. Okay, the rest can stand, get ready so that we can rejoin to the puja offering. Yeah. Just like the incense. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Yeah. Start with the three. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. 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 Sadhu, 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 sadhu. 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 Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we shall commence the puja. Compose your mind. Develop the faith, sadha, virya. And we shall start the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuto bhagawa Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1. We will chant the salutation to the Buddha, followed by the rest. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light, page 3. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang anda sambarayutena dopenahang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana motamang ganna randa guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siripada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena mattena ca hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivasetu no bante aniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Adivasetuno bante bojana parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang. Now we will make the aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements in our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberations, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power, then sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings, exception especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Bhutang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Yeah. Relax body and mind. Then we can have our meditation. But before we start our meditation, I need to make an announcement. Because I understand from Brother Suyan, tomorrow quite a big group is going off to Kampa, where Brother Jim and Sister Ingby's mother and mother-in-law's wake. So they have to leave 5 a.m. early morning. So there's a request. We end today's sharing early. So we will end before 10 so that you have enough time. Then Suyan also have enough time to clear everything up. Then Suyan has to do this alone. Mi Fong has already gone for the preparation of the summonary ordination, I think. She left this afternoon. So with that, we will try to do whatever we can so that we can stop by 10 o'clock. So I will give you less time to meditate. Okay, maybe 20 minutes, 8:45 we end our meditation. So for those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start. And for those who need to train your mind, you train. Then if you already feel that your spiritual faculties are already quite okay, then you can try straight away to go into the meditation, relax, silent, and just aware. Whatever that arises, let it arise, because the untrained mind is like that. When this habitual tendency or heedless thinking is still there, let it arise due to the hindrance, mental hindrance. So don't fight it, don't suppress it, don't control it. When you develop your meditation, you must understand that you are here to relax body and mind and let the mind silent on its own. Whatever the mind wants to do, they are creating thought. And thought is egoic. And thought is trying to do a lot of things. Thought is trying to meditate, to realize, to become. But because thought is limited in its own way, it cannot realize the state that is beyond thought, beyond mind, which is the purpose of meditation, to realize the state that is beyond all this. So we should have this understanding that meditation is just to silence our mind, relax into every state that arises, then let the thought flow. As long as you maintain awareness, just don't be involved, do not be distracted by anything, just maintain awareness. The moment you are aware that you are thinking, you are heedless, you are not with the moment, that itself is awareness. That's why the awareness of inattention is in fact attention. So the mind only need to relax, silent, and just let things be. Then it will settle down on its own. But this is a new way of understanding meditation. That's why it's something very different. And most of you will find very difficult to develop this understanding. That's why it was never taught by all those traditional teachings. Then all these are explained by me many, many times, but I think not easy for you all to get the point, so that all this can be done with proper understanding. Meditation that is been done without understanding can end up doing a lot of thought-based meditation. That's why you will end up repeating all those movements of thought that arise during meditation. So wherever there is thought, there is no real meditation. So thought can arise, let it be. But the purpose of meditation is to understand what is going on through an awareness, not using thought to be the meditator, not using thought to look for things, to try to become something, experience something. So all these are the movement of thought. If you just relax, silent, the mind will settle down on its own, and it will slow down. Then you will reach a point where everything becomes very quiet, very still, very silent. Then don't try to know. Don't even try to arise a thought to your memory to compare. What am I doing? Am I doing it correctly? These are again thought process, movement of thought. Then it will create more and more. That's how you get yourself entangled, heedless again. Then this movement will prevent you from becoming peaceful, aware or silent. The moment you are without thought, you are already in a meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness. So just relax, silent, and let things be. Okay, I will ring the bell after about 10 to 15 minutes. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have now slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then we will continue with our chanting. Turn to page 6. Invocation to the Devas. I will read the English translation. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadamang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Ittipiso Bhagava Arahang Sammasambuddho Vijacarana Sampano Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi paseko opanaiko pacatang veditabo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasango ujupatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Nyaya patipano bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho Samichi patipano bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho Yadidang chattari purisa yugani Ata purisa pugala Sa bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho Āhuneyo pāhuneyo Dākineyo anjalikaraniyo Anuttarang puñyaketang lokasati Sādhu, sādhu Sadhu. Okay, let us parents by triple gem. Badang pujami. Damang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay. Now you can be seated. Relax yourself, body and mind. Then we will proceed with our second session. Second session is about reporting of meditation, followed by whatever question you have regarding meditation, the teaching, and how to apply what you have learned to understand life and live life. Okay. Now we open it up. Anybody who wants to report their meditation, you just raise your hand. Or ask any question, you can raise your hand. Anybody? As usual, very quiet. Maybe tonight. Yes. Okay. You forward to me already. Oh, okay. I will go through Sui An's question. Okay. Oh, I Maitreya Chan Bun Sikha. Okay. Oh, so you are lucky, Maitreya is here. Oh, the question so formal, Master. I am Maitreya Chan Bun Sia. I have been thinking, if I do good, gain kusala karma, good karma, actually wholesome karma. If I do bad, I acquire akusala karma, bad karma or negative karma. Both ways, I'm going to be reborn again and again. If I don't do anything, I won't accumulate karma. So why should I do good? So that is the first question. Furthermore, if I accumulate a lot of good karma, I might be reborn in the Rupa Loka, rhyme of the form, and Arupa Loka, formless rhyme. Oh no, who say that? You do a lot of good karma, you cannot go there. You go to Devaraj. And I said, these are all the jhana one. You do jhana, you go there. Form jhana and the formless jhana. So this part, maybe the person who asked the question need to understand. He said, I might be reborn in the Rupa Loka, rhyme of the form, or Arupa Loka, formless rhyme, whose lifespan is in terms of Mahakapas. He said, I will be wasting my time there, since my goal as a Buddhist is to attain Nibbana. I am very confused. Please enlighten me, Master. So if you want to attain Nibbana, you cannot attain, because Nibbana cannot be attained. It's not somebody who attained. Nibbana can be realized. The form and mind can realize it as it goes through cessation. So here maybe I need to clarify a few things so that the person who asked this question will have better understanding. The law of karma is very simple. So his first question is, if I do good, I gain a lot of wholesome karma, kusala karma. If I do bad, maybe I acquire akusala karma or unwholesome, negative karma. Both ways, he said, he will be reborn again and again, which is not wrong. But he said, if I don't do anything, I won't accumulate karma. So why should I do good? So this is the first question. So can you be in the state where you don't do anything? That's where he go wrong. How can you say you don't do anything? You are without a job doesn't mean you don't do anything. You are not working, understand? But you still arise your thought. You still arise your speech, your action. You still communicate with the world. You still have relationship with people. You still constantly arise your mind, which has the mental intention. And that itself is karmic. Whether you are aware or not aware is another matter. So karmic is very powerful, law of karma. The Buddha already explained. If you have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, these three evil roots are the root of all evil. So maybe I will write on the board. That's why when you study the Buddha Dhamma, there are certain essential Dhamma that you have to understand. First is Dhammapada verse. Dhammapada verse 183. 183 is a famous verse of the Buddha. The Buddha said, because there is this nature's law, he called it the law of karma, karma niyama, the law that governs all of mental activities. All beings that take birth in this existential world, they are all born of this law, born of this karma, heir to this karma. They are conditioned and supported by this law of karma, every moment, every instant. And they are what they are, every instant, every moment, because of this law of karma. So this is a very powerful nature's law that governs our life, not only your life, each and every living being's life. So if you want to have the good life, you have to take care of this karma, so that your karmic nature is beautiful. That's how the advice of the Buddha comes about. Dhammapada verse 83 is the advice of the Buddha. Advice of Buddha. All Buddha, when they arise, they will expound this advice. So this advice is very simple. Because of this law of karma, he said you have to avoid all evil. Avoid all evil. Then, second advice is what? Do wholesomeness or goodness wherever there is condition. Then, the last one is purify your mind so that you are not deluded. When you purify your mind, you develop wisdom so that you are not deceived or deluded by the phenomenal world. You will understand their universal characteristic and you will not become entangled. You will not become gullible. So here there are three advice. So our Maitreya Chan asked this question. If I do good, I will have good kusala karma. If I do evil, these are the root of all evil, then I get negative karma. Then he said, whatever I do, whether good or evil, means this first two advice, I still come back for rebirth, which is nothing wrong. Correct or not? But if you purify your mind, you don't have to come back. And this one is where he was looking for, but he don't understand. So he phrased his question, he said, if that is the case, he wants to stay in the middle. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to be good or evil. Means I don't want to do anything. Then I don't have to come back. But the question is, you cannot don't do anything because you have to live life. Unless you have this, you're enlightened already. When you're enlightened already, you will not do this one. Understand or not? There is no evil. There you are incapable of evil. But this wholesome thing is still there. There is no such thing as you don't do anything. You can be in the state of equanimity without the duality affecting you. But you still have a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of goodness, a lot of kindness, a lot of virtue. Because this is the unique quality of a pure mind, of an enlightened being's mind. That mind is capable of virtue, incapable of karmic negativity, because it doesn't have this negative, unwholesome evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So the first question is very easy to understand. But the second comment he made was not correct, because he said, even though if he do a lot of goodness, he said, what's the use? You will take rebirth in the formless rind and the formless rind, and you live there very long, and he don't want to waste time up there. But he didn't know you cannot go there unless you develop concentration, absorption type of meditation. Even metta, loving kindness, that can develop the jhanic state, can give rise to condition to take birth in the form and formless jhana. These are called brahmas. Yeah. The first 16 stages of Brahmarayam, where you take birth as Brahma, they are developed through the first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, and the fourth jhana. Then, chances is when the condition arises after the passing away of this segmented life, or they call death, when consciousness separate, then the mind that has developed this jhanic mind state, they can take birth up there. And of course, like he said, you live up there very long for kappas. Then the last four formless rhyme, they are for those who develop the jhana further until the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth jhanas. These are Hindu practices during the time of the Buddha. And a lot of yogi, they develop energy field, concentration, and they take birth up there. But if you do not do that, you just, as a normal human being, go about doing all the wholesomeness, means you keep your precept, you avoid evil, you do a lot of kusala karma, and then you take rebirth as what? Yeah? You take rebirth as what? Huh? Where do you go? Where do you go? Don't tell me you don't know where you go. You got a lot of wholesomeness. Even if you keep your five precepts minimum, you will take birth as devas. Ah, so these devas are still within the sensual right. This one no need jhana one. No need concentration on. You only have to keep your precept, avoid all evil. There are minimum five precepts. Five precepts. Then you develop wholesomeness. Then chances of you taking birth as a deva is very high. Very high. And here, the lifespan are shorter. But even short is already relatively very long. Even the Tavatinsa rhyme. You know what is Tavatinsa? Ting Kong. The 33 heavens. They call it Ting Kong. Where you, the Hokkien people, Chinese New Year, Che Kao, Pai Ting Kong. Your parents, especially your mother, the older generation, they offer offering to King Saka. King Saka is the king of the 33 heaven, Tavatinsa heaven. Tavatinsa. I forgot the spelling already. You go and check. Tavatinsa. Or T-I-M. Maybe, D-I-M, Tavatinsa, heavens. So, he, according to the Buddha, existed during the Buddha, he is already a sotapan, an enlightened being. Yeah. First stage of sainthood. So this one is King Saka. King Saka. So the King Saka is the emperor or king of the 33 heavens. Yeah. So when you do a lot of wholesomeness, keep your precept, you can take rebirth in the heavenly realm. And up there, when you are this in this deva form, you have good life. You get to enjoy, or I should say, you receive the reward of your good merits and good karma. Then you get to enjoy all this heavenly rhyme. And during that time, they don't like have any problem at all. They don't really need physical food. They got very beautiful. You read the sutta, you will know. The celestial realm, they got very beautiful environment up there. Celestial mansion and all that stuff. But depend on your rank, like the human society, human world. Yeah? They also got the wealthy, yeah? the extraordinary wealthy one, means a lot of dana parami and all those things. Then they also get their whatever. Very, very wholesome type of karmic friction, reward. Then, during that time, they will not be like us. Have to go through old age, sickness, suffering, and all those things. Most of the time, they are happy up there. Most of the time. Then, it's only when they are about to die, then problem comes. It seems the sign will show up. They will start to sweat, perspire, sweat, and all those things. Then after that, they will lose their radiance. Means that deva is about to die. So all this, when it happens, means they still experience the process of decay, but not like us. Grow old until refrigerator. No, they all the moment the sign come up means they know already. Very fast, they have to go for rebirth. But while they are there, they really, really have the good life. So sometimes in this rhyme, they call it the first heaven. First heaven, you know what is it? This one is the second heaven. 33 heaven is the second heaven. The first one is what? Chaku? you all don't know. Say Tai Kam Kong. Chatu Maharaja, I think. The Chatu Mah. I don't know the spelling. Maharaja Heaven. This is called the First Heaven. Si. Su Da Tian Wang, Sei Tai Gam Gong, the heavenly God, the four direction, the one you go into the Maitreya building, the first one after Maitreya behind is the four dainty, that one. There's one, they say, responsible for thunder, there's one responsible for rain, then there are another two responsible for all the other things. So this one, even when you are in this first heaven, they say one day up here is equal to how many days on earth? One day up there is equal to how many days on earth? Well, you never read this. No, I hear from Suvarna, 50 years. So they up there play for one day, you already early will 50 years. So if he go up there 2 days, you already die already. That's why they become heaven, then they recall, oh, I still got friend Kayamita down here. They come down and look, hey, how come no more? Some become so old already. That's why it's relative. So that question is more pertaining to this. If you do good, you will take rebirth in the heavenly realm. And heavenly realm is not bad, actually. It's a reward realm. But they are still within the realm of the senses. That's why they are still called Kama Loka, K-A-M-A, sensual realm. Sensual realm of the heavens or devas. And they have a lot of happiness and joy. That's why it's called Sukati. There is one chart which I think Reverend Suvarna draw up on last time. 31 plane of existence. You go and check that one. They got right about this. Then the next question is, the next question he asks is, Since my goal as a Buddhist is to attain Nibbana, he said, yeah, he said, he is confused. Please enlighten me. So very easy, huh? If your goal is Nibbana, you don't go and crave for it. Huh? If you want to attain Nibbana, you can never attain. What you need to do is to follow the advice of the Buddha, which is Dhammapada verse 183. So this is a famous verse, Sabba Papasa Akaranam Kusalesa Upasampadan Sachitta Pariyotapanam Etang Buddhana Sasana. So this famous advice of the Buddha is very popular and is always being chanted by the monks. So the meaning is very simple. Sabbe is all, Papasa is evil, Akaranam, you must avoid them all. Yeah. Then kusalesa, kusala is wholesomeness, goodness, upasampadan. Yeah. Wherever there is wholesomeness, you must try to develop it. That's why you avoid all evil, do good. Pass the mic. So that the recording can hear your voice. Thank you. Yeah, you can repeat your question. Never mind. Just speak on the speaker, the mic.
What about the Malays and Muslims? Their gods is the same with our gods.
Why you worry about their god?
Huh? The heavens and the Tuhan, are they the same with us?
No? Yeah, why do you want to know? Because people have their own belief. So, no need to know. So, their god, your god, the Hindu also have their own god as well. So don't try to know. These are not important. And this is not a question that we should dwell in because we are wasting our time. We got no idea because it is a belief system or a religion that people come out with. Just like they all ask, what are all these Buddhist gods? So if you're this god, is same as their god, then they have big problem. Understand? Where they believe in only one god. So all these are not important. Okay? Don't get yourself involved in all this. Otherwise, you end up arguing with people. You think Buddhist god are better, Hindu god not so good. Then you get into trouble. All the Hindu will come up to you. Why you want to compare god? When you take rebirth up there, then you will know what this rhyme are. But sometimes when you meditate, you can off it.
Because I thought Ti Gong is Ti Gong upstairs. Ti Gong is Ti Gong.
Ti Gong is the King Saka, not upstairs. You know your earth planet is round, so which is up? When you are in the southern hemisphere, your up is south. Understand? Or? When you are in the northern hemisphere, your up is north. So it's not a convention, it's relative. Where that thing is round, understand? Or? The person up there, the globe, up is up. But down is actually where you are on the southern side. Understand? Or? Like you go to Australia, New Zealand, you are in the southern hemisphere. Then you go to Europe, you are in the northern hemisphere. Then we are in the equator. So our up and down is at the side. So all these directions are relative, convention, not true. So when they say the heavenly realm, it doesn't mean that up, understand? Because we got an atmosphere. That's why when you chant Akasatta Chavumata, then Deva and Naga, Mahindika, means Deva and Naga of mighty power. Then he say, may all beings inhabiting earth and space. Space is the atmosphere above. So we call it up because it says the atmosphere is above. But this up is relative. Understand? And this planet is spinning in space and time. Your atmosphere move along with it. So when you have this understanding, you are not gullible. So not important, huh? Forget about that question. Otherwise you will get your mind entangled again. That's why your life becomes very complicated. Huh? Don't go and think about all those things. Just now, where was I? Huh? I was trying to explain the last question. Huh? So the advice of the Buddhas are very important. The first advice is Sabba Papasa Akaranang. The one I gone through. Then Kusalesa Upasampadan means Kusala Kama, wholesomeness. You cultivate. But this will not free your mind. This will not bring about enlightenment. This will develop the condition for you to have the good karmic nature so that it can help you to improve your life. So that every time you come, because you are all born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So you take care of karma, karma will take care of your life. Because you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. The more goodness you have, you will receive them like a Nietzsche's law. People will be kind to you. People will be good to you. If you do your duty well as a responsible parent, you will have good parents who will do their duty towards you, very responsible towards the family. And you will have the good life, the good support of a good parent. Then if you have been kind to people, to your brothers, your sister, so you will be born into a family where you will have good brothers and sisters. You will have good Dhamma friends and honest things. If you have been kind to all Kayanamita, sincere, helpful, then all this will come back to you. But if you have karmic negativity, selfishness, the evil roots of greed, hatred, delusion, cunningness, envy, jealousy, then deceitfulness, all this will bring about downfall. Then when you come and take birth, you will meet up with people who will cheat you, deceive you, act cunningly towards you. Then, if you have been very arrogant, very violent, very snobbish, you will meet up with people who will do this back to you. Because you become the victim. You reap what you sow. When you did to people, you don't understand. So these two will give you better condition to live life. Like you got a lot of dana parami, wealth will come to you. You will have all these means to receive them. But if, let's say, you cheat people, deceive people, trick people, like some of the unscrupulous Bobo, medium, fortune teller, all those they call cheat people, what you call them? Con men, That's like the word con man. Then you realize the consultant and the contractor are all con. You better be careful because it starts with con. That's why when you die, also condolence. Con. You know, all the rite and ritual thing. You burn all those things, you will go and hire. You have to pay a lot. That's why that word con is to warn you that there is a lot of con men around. Don't trust consultant. I have been consultant before, but very few are like me. Then contractor, you know, most contractor also. But not all. Some are very good contractor. I work for contractor too. I was contractor before, but it's not easy to be a good contractor. Contractor got a lot of different type. Because of greed, selfishness, and profit-orientated. So consultant and contractor sometimes because of profit, because of materialistic gain, well, they will actually try to break rules. They will not be honest. They will not be sincere. That's how they become consultant and all the thing. So, if you do all this, then what happens? In future, when you take birth, you end up becoming the victim of all these people. The last time when you con people, you don't know. That's why you end up going seeing the medium Kena Kon. You go for the what they call pyramid scheme, Kena Kon, the gold scheme or copper scheme. Then you say, why these people are like that? Last time when you do to people, you never say why you like that. Understand? Then you push drug in the past. Then now got condition, you also Kena victim. People push drug to you, or they push to your kid. Where you push to other people's kid, anasahana, you make the parent miserable when their kid get involved in drug. So now this life you haven't experienced that type of suffering and karma which you did to people, your children will get involved in drug. That's how karma come in play. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. If you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. That's why the Mahayana Mandarin words are more precise and clearer. 种因结果, 种错因结错果, then 种善因结善果. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, goodness, virtue, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness, goodness, and virtue. But if you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. Then your karma will fall. And you will get into trouble. Then, my refuge teacher, Master Chen Hua, always warned the devotee. In Mandarin, he said, therefore, living being, you have to be careful. He said, 千万要小心啊, he said, 众生, 不要种错因结错果. You understand the meaning or not? Never, never plant the wrong seed and reap the wrong fruit. That is something very, very miserable. That's why you don't take care of karma, you don't follow the advice of the Buddha, you will plant the wrong seed and reap the wrong fruit and get yourself into trouble. Yeah. So this first two is about having good condition for better life. If you want to excel in anything, be good in anything, understand that there are causes and conditions that can give rise to it. So if you follow this nature's law, you don't cheat, you don't deceive, you don't do all these shortcuts, you will realize them. Then you can invoke power or merits to aspire to become whatever type of successful person you want to be. That's why you can aspire to be world champion or whatever. That's why a lot of this being who make this is determination, they came up because they invoke the will, the mind through will, through mental intention, very strong. But if you understand the Buddha Dhamma, you can invoke power of merits through nature's law for causes and conditions to arise so that you can realize this, whatever ambition or aspiration that you want. And this one will bring you there without any negativity. You don't arise anything that harm people, because through nature's law arise a causal thing. You don't want to know how it arises, but it will arise. And it's most beautiful when they arise. Then if you want to realize enlightenment and go beyond just good life, because even when you are very successful materialistically, let's say, you have good karma, you have all the good virtue inherited, then you become wealthy, you become successful in life, you can have all the wholesome things that the sensual world or materialistic world can offer to you. But then as you go through life, you will have to confront the first noble truth reality of getting old, getting sick and die. Then separation from loved ones and your possession. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, relationship failure and all those things, then the other reality of not getting what you want in life, expectation in life are not met when things don't go your way. Then when you are deluded, you grasp and cling to the five aggregate of form and mind. Then you get yourself entangled, suffering can arise, you can become miserable. Your attachment can make you miserable, fearful, sorrowful, anxiety, lamentation, all this can arise. your suffering, or your hurt, your scars of memory, or whatever phobia that you hold on to, all this, they still can haunt you and make you miserable despite your wealth. Your wealth will not give you the peace that you want, the happiness and joy that you want when you confront all this without the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, when you don't have the teaching to allow you to purify your mind so that you are not deceived by all this phenomenal, this reality of life and existence, so that you can be at peace with whatever that arises. Because by then, you would have awakened through your meditation, through your process of purification of mind. When you realize the true mind and awaken to the characteristic of nature, then you realize this form of mind, this segmented form of mind, the so-called human being, is not what you think. It's not you. It's something that is karmically conditioned out. This segment for you to come to this world, to this existential world, so that you can make use of it. It's like a vehicle and a tool to let you come to this existential world, to live life, to experience all of the good and bad of life. That's how karma can take its course. Then for you to develop the cultivation, the experiences, then you can do the thing that you want to do in life. Then you can live life to the fullest when you have this understanding. But when you don't have this understanding, when you are deluded and heedless, you will have to go through the process of karma. That's why you reap what you sow. Then through this ignorance, you will suffer. You will become heedless. You will attach, you will cling, you will grasp, you will hold and give meaning. And through this memory, this thought process, you get yourself entangled. And you suffer unnecessarily because you don't understand what they are. Their universal characteristics is impermanent, like the Buddha said. Because all these are mind-made. Mind-made are they. Mind is the foreign of all things. When mind arises, everything comes to be. That everything that you arise through this mind, we call it the content of consciousness. All of your emotion, your feeling, your fear, your mental states, your thought process, your mental intention, the consciousness that you arise, the perception that you hold on to and give meaning to. All this, your views, your opinion, and all your conditioning, they are all sankhara, mental formation, mental activity, content of consciousness. So the Buddha said, this one is all of your evil roots. When you are deluded, your phobia, your fear, your selfishness, your insecurity, your whatever, envy, jealousy, deceitfulness, all this, you carry them. And these are the karmic consciousness that will bring about downfall. So when you die without this understanding, your consciousness carry all this karmic negativity. That's why you flow back to the stream, the karmic stream, and you have to come back via rebirth. And this karmic stream is what the law of karma is all about. And then when you take rebirth, again, that karmic nature, which is one small part of the countless form of mind that arise, that is the one that you inherit. That's why the Buddha said, each and every living being, we are born of that karma, heir to that karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are, every moment, every instant, because of karma. So as long as you are deluded, and when you die, your content of consciousness will have this delusion, this evil roots. Is that thing off? That sound come from that thing, I think. Off it. Who is holding it? Just off it. Good. Thank you. Well, thank you. So this consciousness that you hold on to, which is the karmic consciousness, because the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, and the various form that it takes through all your attachment, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your phobia, or whatever, your conditioning, your belief system, your rites and ritual, envy, jealousy, everything that contains. This is karmic in nature. That's why we call it the karmic consciousness. That's why you have to come back and take rebirth. It will flow back to the karmic stream. For you to be free, you have to step out of this karmic stream, means you have to purify this content of consciousness so that it is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, so that you are not deluded anymore, so that at the moment of death, there is no rebirth consciousness, because there is no ignorance to condition rebirth consciousness. Then that consciousness, when the death process happens, it just ceases. That's why the arahant, they don't come back. They step out because it just ceases, because it no longer has the content of the karmic stream. It's not deluded. Then during the time when the form and mind has this wisdom connected to the meditation, that's what the purification of mind is all about, it is not deluded anymore. The form and mind is not deluded by the phenomenal world, because it knows its universal characteristics of impermanence. Suffering leads to suffering. Then because it's impermanent, it's not you, not a permanent unchanging entity where you can hold on to, cling on to, and grasp onto, and say, this is me, this is mine, therefore all this can be mine. So once you are without that delusion, then you realize everything is just coming and going. The phenomenal world is the world of consciousness, not so real, not what you think. That's why it's empty, empty nature existence, as real as it can be. It's just a phenomenal world of consciousness. And what is consciousness? Pure awareness and its content, which is the thought. And thought just arise and pass away. And as we have gone through our meditation, the whole of thought is time-related, because it's psychological time. To live life is to arise thought, to pass through time. That's why life can be equated to existence. To live life, to exist through time. Then time, we can define. The whole spectrum of time is just past, present, and future. And of these three, which is the reality? We have gone through that. The past is what? No longer a reality, true or not? Why? Because past is already gone. No more reality. Then what is future? Huh? What is future? Yet to come. Again, not a reality. So what is the reality? Present moment. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Even the thought we arise. This moment, when it arises, the moment I talk about it, is day and gone. Understand not? That's why as real as it can be, it's only that moment when it arises. Then next moment is dead and gone. Another one arises. So life is just within that moment. Split second is dead and gone. How real can life be? And it's just consciousness arising and passing away without you knowing it. Then if that is the only reality in life, moment to moment life passes by, what are you doing? You are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life, means you are lost in thought, become heedless. You never leave. Understand? Huh? Because you are caught in time. Worry about this, worry about that, planning about this, planning about that. Keep on thinking, thinking, thinking. Every moment of perception, see something, think, hear something, think. This is what heedless living is all about. You are never with the moment, in that silent inner awareness, to experience the moment, to live life, to understand the reality, to be aware of what is going on without the thought, the memory coming into condition you. then with that understanding, you are not deceived. That's why every moment is peaceful. Every moment is just silent, aware. You don't have to hold on to anything. You don't have to worry about anything. You just live. That's why live life. Don't worry about life. And through this understanding, as you meditate, you will be able to actually develop this type of understanding, not to arise the thinking. Because thinking are all delusion. Thinking cannot bring about wisdom. Thinking can make you more intelligent, more knowledgeable. Then maybe it can give you more idea, give rise to more concept, views and opinion. Then maybe you come up with new theory and all those things like the scientists. But these are not wisdom, Manasana. Wisdom is not a knowledge, not rigid. Wisdom is understanding that is applicable under any condition. That's why to have this ability to be at peace with all things, in all situations, in all conditions, you must have wisdom, not knowledge. Knowledge cannot free you. You can be the best doctor or the engineer with the best knowledge, or the politician with the best knowledge, but it cannot cure you. Your suffering came from mental inside when you don't understand, when you have delusion, when you attach, cling, and grasp, when you don't understand who you are, what you are. That's why self-delusion is very powerful. You cannot free. Okay? So hopefully this will answer the Kayamita's question, Maitreya Chan. Then now maybe I want to touch a bit on the First Noble Truth reality of death. Because just within this 1 week, we experienced 3 deaths. The first one was on the 24th of June. One of my Alistair classmates, Mr. Randa, he got a heart attack and he just died very fast. Everybody was surprised. Then after that, that Tuesday, Sister Sally, Tuesday was just 2 days back, 28, I think. Sister Sally, our Kayamita Tuesday class. She used to have this weak heart for 5-6 years already, I think. Then we were told by the sister and the niece that Tuesday night after our class, she developed some form of complication. But before the complication arise, it seems she was in Taiwan 2 weeks ago, but we didn't know about it. Nobody told us. She got into some complication. Then the leg like bloated, the hand also like bloated. Then a lot of pulse, not water alone, no, a lot of pulse. So according to the sister and they took her to this clinic. Then they tried to help her to extract out the pulse. Then I think give her some medication also. Then according to the niece, the daughter that told Anne that Tuesday class before she came, the sister Sally was already much better because the swelling has started to go down and things like start to subside. But then after the class, as she was traveling home, I think when she reached home, she received the phone call say, the sister Sally has some problem. Then they went over, took her to the hospital. But by the time they arrived, I think she was already 2 weeks. Then not long after that, I think she passed away. So that was the second one. Then as we just finished attending the wake last night, then when I reached home, then we saw the next morning, Brother Jim's mom. Again, pass away. So they are going for the week tomorrow, I think 5 a.m. I was told big group 30 or 35 or 36 now, the number. they now have to hire a bus instead of carpool, then MPV now become a bus. So whatever it is, I just want to share with you all what the Buddha's advice is regarding this reality of life and existence, one of the eight realities. And most common and most difficult to endure is death. Because living being has a lot of problem when it comes to death. A lot of people don't understand the fear of death. Who die? What die? After death, what happen? Where do I go? And all these questions. So according to the Buddha, it's very simple. I sent out the sharing to our Maikayamita website Tuesday class and even our Thursday class. The Buddha said, Anicchang, Anicca Vata Sankara, Upada Vaya Damino, Upajitwa Nirujanti, Tesang, Upasamo Sukho. You know what is the meaning or not? Anicchang, you know, Anicchang is impermanent. So the Buddha says impermanent, alas, are all conditioned Dhamma. That's why Vata Sankara. They are of the nature to arise and pass away. That's why Upada Vaya Dhammino. And having been born, they all must cease. That's why Upajitwa Nirujanti. Having been born, they must all cease. It's just like when the Bodhisattva, the son, passed away, the king passed by and asked him, why don't you grieve? So the king thought the son must be somebody not failure, not a fellow piety child. Yeah. The Bodhisattva answered, no, he is a very good son, full of fellow piety. Then why don't you grieve? And then the Buddha said, whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to pass. Whatever that is of the nature to be born will come to pass. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. But the reality is, pass away already. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. So you have to do what you have to do. Where there is no reality, no one dies. It's just consciousness that's separate from the form. Then they follow the process of karma if the being doesn't know how to die. If they know how to die, there is no problem. If they have taken care of their karma, like what we went through, then also dying is no problem. Dying is actually a release, a relief from old age sickness. Death of the content of consciousness. That you don't leave behind the karmic negativity or karmic content that will absorb you back into the karmic stream to take rebirth, then you don't have to come. Yeah. That's why you can choose to come. Or you have to come because you don't have a choice. Then the last part, according to this Pali stanza, is very good. I read again. Impermanent, alas, are all conditioned state or conditioned Dhamma. They are of the nature to arise and pass away. Having been born, they all must cease. So the coming of condition via this understanding is true happiness. When you understand this, you are very blessed. You are always peaceful and happy. That's why no grief, no sorrow, no lamentation. When my dad passed away, I don't cry. My whole family don't cry. Then my mother, influenced by some elders, start to ask us to cry. Then my brother came and tell me. Then I talked to her. Then only she understand. Because of tradition, the elders simply tell her certain things that were so negative and put so much fear in my mother. He said, what type of funeral is it? Nobody cry. No expression of filial piety and all those things. No. He tell my mother. No. Then he said, you do la de la. Your husband will go to that not so happy rhyme. Is it? Well, my mother panic. My mother say, like that, how he said, go and tell your children to cry. And my mother take all the joystick, everything, and go and get all the children to go and kneel down and cry. You know. Luckily, my brother not so stupid. He came and see me. Then I said, don't worry, I'll talk to her. So I went in and I talked to her. I hold her, and she was still sobbing and crying. You know. I said, what happened? You were so happy all this while. Then he told me about the elder, one generation elder than her one. Tell her she must get us to cry, otherwise no sign of Philippine. You know what they say or not? Puhawa. Mhausona. Understand or not? No Philippine. Mhausona to them is a very big offense. Understand or not? You are not Philippine towards your parent. Then I held my mother's hand. I told my mother, do you believe them? You look at their life. Are they happy? Are they successful? All their children, all their whatever, uncle, they are not having the good life. They have big problems. Some of the children are drug addicts. Not much education. A lot of what they call problems. Financial problem, relationship problem, materialistic problem. Financial problem also a big problem because they have a lot of problem. Then they are not successful. Then I told my mother, what is Philippine? Is it when they die, you cry, that is Philippine? To me, that is not Philippine. I said, dad live a good life until the age of 80. And before he died, he already planned everything. He even went back to China and helped the brothers, sisters, the brothers' children and family and all those things. And he is already so happy. And the last few years, we actually took care of him and did so much things for him. And that year, very funny, you know. I still remember 2004, that Chinese New Year. I never do this or not. I organized one special trip for my whole family, you know, including my brother, sister's family, everybody, the in-laws. Sorry, not in-law. My sister-in-law, brother-in-law, everybody. So the whole big family together with my father, my mother, to a very special resort in north of Hanyang, near this Songkla there, I think, Hakiao Resort, I think. We booked that whole hotel, I think. Then we had very good New Year there. And my dad was so happy, you know, that time. He was on wheelchair, you know. I still remember in the breeze facing the sun, the sea breeze facing the sunny sun shore. We had our family photo. No? It's a very beautiful scene outside of the hotel resort. Then with the seafront and all the breeze. Then my father was so happy because all of the children, all of their spouse, including you call grandchildren, then great-great-grandchildren also gone. He was so happy. You know. And after the photograph session, he told my mom and me, we all, with my brothers and sisters, he said, this is life. This is the most happy moment of my life, he said, to see all my siblings together, my grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and everybody so happy living here, having this resort. And he was on wheelchair, and we view him. I said, that is filial piety. Then my mother recalled, wow, he said, yeah. Then I said, that is what we have to do before he died. And we took him everywhere, wherever he wanted to go, we take turns. Then we even, every New Year, there was so much joy, so much harmony, so much happiness. Then we held his hand, we talked to him. And we asked him, what is it that you want to do further? He said, no, I have done everything. And he's so happy. I said, if dad is still around, you think he want to see you cry? Understand? Huh? Then my mother starts to understand, no? Then he keep quiet. Is it like that? We do our way, is it? No need to follow that. I said, that should be the way. Then everything settled. Then paper house still want to burn. I said, it's okay, I respect you. You are my mom. You want to burn, I burn. Then you know why he told me? The reason is every generation after generation, they pass down this tradition. No, we don't do, cannot, no. Just in case die already, got such thing, how? No house, no hell money and all those things. Then my daughter say, ah, got handphone also, because he work in Maxis. No? He said, got SIM card underneath there. No? I say, if this one got, then no need to do good. Understand? No? Last minute die already, burn all this thing, go down. They will receive. You might as well buy the hell note, you know. The smallest denomination is hundreds of million. How to spend? But the hell, they don't have central bank to clear. That is the problem. You cannot cash all this. So when it comes to filial piety, is to do it while they are still around. So when you have this understanding, then you will not be deceived and deluded by all this. That's why when it comes to death, we are talking about death, you should recall to mind all of the what they call wholesomeness, kindness, goodness, and sacrifice that your parent has done for you. Then express your gratitude, your respect towards them. That's why we went and pay last respect to our Kanyamita friend, Sister Sally. Then we invoke power of merits through her wholesomeness, through her fellowship with us, and through our relationship with her, and through her generosity, while she donate to all those spiritual trips, Kanyamita funds and all those things. Then in return, her Kanyamita fund, because it is a Kanyamita funeral, so we also do our part. We give the what they call pakam from the Kanyamita fund. We offer 200. So there was a lot of joy. There was a lot. Then we had a sharing. They had 45 minutes of sharing for us, allocated the time. Then we rejoiced. Then after that, we invoked the chanting. That's why tonight we were still dedicating all these merits towards all those who have affinity, including Brother Jim's mother. Then on top of all this, you should also recall to mind the urgency of cultivation in understanding all this. Don't wait till death, then only worry about whether you have done enough or not. What will happen? Then now you realize not enough time to do good. Of course, the past is already gone. Don't worry about the past. From this moment when you understand this Buddha Dhamma, because your life, you have to decide how you want to live. Nobody can live it for you. That's why you have to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to good. Then purify your mind. When you purify your mind, develop wisdom. This type of pure mind or wise mind that has the right view, straightening of the view. This one, when it acts, speak, and think with a pure mind, this wholesomeness and merit is very, very powerful. Limitless. That's why when you develop this mind, then you do all this wholesomeness, you become very beautiful. And your parami is fantastic. So don't worry that you don't have enough time. So this is a very powerful understanding. Then don't worry about death. I just cover this quickly. Who die? What die? That's why the Buddha said, this so-called human being, the form and mind, this is a consciousness or your mundane mind. Consciousness or mind, mundane mind. This one is trapped inside the body. Trapped inside the body. Then this is the physical body. So what is that? Death is the separation of condition. When consciousness separate, from the form. Then you call it death. Nothing died, just the condition separate, cease to be. The supporting condition for the arising of this so-called human being. There are three. You must have a physical body that is functional, spinal cord, everything like a car, operational, functional. Then you must have this consciousness, which is the light, what they call, that can support you and make you conscious. Then there must be this third one, the life force. The life force or your karmic force. Life force or karmic, supporting karma. Supporting karmic force. So this one comes from your karmic nature. This supporting karmic force is the life force that pump your heart. This one pump your heart. That's why this is the one that sustain life. Your life force that pumps your heart and send your blood through your organ and system. That's how you nourish. Then this one become animated, alive. You call it a human being. And this human being is condition arising, not you. Just form a mind. That's why mind and physical form. That's why the Buddha said, you are the five aggregate of form and mind. So when the karmic force stops, means your time is up. Then no more heartbeat, gone. Sometimes karmic force still there, but physical body degenerate. You got disease, sickness, or injury, spinal cord, snap, or stroke, and all those things. Then this consciousness cannot stay because it cannot support it anymore. The body is no longer able to support. Then the consciousness will leave. When the consciousness leaves, then there is nothing to sustain that organism to become conscious. The other one is karmic force, the moment is gone, the heartbeat stops, the blood doesn't flow, again the random of consciousness that remains has to come up. That's why you say dead, died. So it's like a candle. You know what is a candle or not? Where you offer, you light your candle. So this candle, if it's so long, doesn't mean it will burn for so long, is it? Let's say 2 hours. But what happened if the wind blow? No more, the flame is gone, isn't it? Then sometimes the wind don't blow, let's say, burning very well. Then suddenly here, the wick got problem. Then, chi-chi-chi-chi-chi, then again, gone. And then, premature death. Understand? Then sometimes because the wax melt too fast, because the sunlight, everything, suddenly melt too fast. Then this candle also become very short. Then become a pool like that. Then after that, again, gone. So, the three things, the weak, the external factor and the wax, these are the three conditions that support the candle, whether it continue to light up for how long. So our life is in a similar way, quite a good analogy. External factor can bring about destruction of this candle's light. So likewise, accident, calamity, murder, kidnap, or whatever, external factor can destroy this so-called human being. Then the life force also, the moment the life force is no more, it's like the weak got problem. You cannot continue to light because it doesn't allow. Then this consciousness is the whole thing since birth until now, your conditioning your belief system, your whatever views and opinion, your content or consciousness, all these are there, the whole of the content. Everything that you hold on to, your belief system, your identity, who you are, what you are, this life, this segmented life, like this one, brother, Theo, civil engineer, Chinese, male, all this you hold as memory. But when you have the understanding, the wisdom, when you awaken, you realize this is not you. All these other form and mind, name and form that this segmented life take. This is for the world, the existential world, the conventional world. There is no reality. He no me, he no me. He no you. This is not me. This is just karmically conditioned out. That's why all this content of consciousness, you can empty them before you die. That's why you must know how to die before you die. Like my teacher, Chayantra, said, die of all the defilement, which is your content of consciousness that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. But this one will bring you back to the karmic stream. That's why you must cease all of your evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion through wisdom awakening. Then when you have this wisdom and understanding, when you don't grasp and cling, then there is nobody to be greedy, to be selfish, to be fearful, to have emotional negativity, to hold on to any views, opinion, and identity. No more. That's why the whole content of consciousness become pure. That's why the aggregates, the five aggregates, are non-grasping, pure aggregate. Not the grasping aggregate, upadana khandas. Okay? So death is very simple, very easy. It's a relief. When consciousness separate, all of your old age sickness and whatever delusion, they will be released. But because you don't know how to die, you don't have awareness, you don't have this wisdom, you cling and hold on to all this karmic content. You identify, you grasp, you hold, you cling, your loved one, everything, including yourself, who you are, what you are, your wealth, your whatever. So all this is, you know, including your phobia, anxiety, fear, or whatever. Even the thought that I have not prepared my will properly. All this, they are going to take you back to the karmic stream. Because this is karmic content. That's why you must know how to die. When you know how to die, die of all the defilement, the delusion, the grasping, the clinging, then the mind free. Then it's no longer part of the karmic stream. Then it doesn't come back and take birth through karma. That's how you step out of the karmic stream. That's how you gain liberation of mind. Then that mind that realizes itself just sees beautifully. Then in future, should it have the condition to come, if you understand, then you can still come. Okay, 10 o'clock. We have to end now. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we do a quick sharing of merits and transform merits. Then after that, we will evoke the wholesomeness and share it with Sally and Brother Jim's mom. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu loka sasana itta watta camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, before we pay our respect, I will dedicate on your behalf. May all this wholesomeness that we have cultivated over the last 2 hours or so bring forth the causes and conditions for our sister Sally. Forgive me, Sally, to have the good life in the hereafter, immediately after his passing away. May this also bring forth the causes and conditions to support her in whatever way to realize her good and noble wishes. So likewise, may this wholesomeness and blessing to be shared with Brother Jim and Sister Ingby's mother and mother-in-law, so that she too can have the wholesomeness and blessing to have the good life immediately after her passing away from this existential world. And may the blessing of the Triple Gem continue be with them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we can end.
Pakistan for 1 week to take.